Hallelujah. Life is worth living. Why? Because He lives. Because He lives. Amen. Look, I brought two Bibles today, y'all. Ooh, hallelujah. Praise God. Pam says, you're going to bring it today, aren't you? Hey, you got to see my desk. He's got about five Bibles on it I'm trying to study out of. Because He lives. I love that part in the song. It says, life is worth living. Why? Because He lives, church, we live. If you don't like partying with Jesus, you're going to hate heaven. Because I'm telling you, all this is going to be is a party, isn't it? That's all it's going to be is one big old party. And we're going to be around that table, and I love eating, so we're going to have a lot of fun sitting around the table eating. Amen? Because He said the supper, remember the supper? Come on, y'all. We're in the South, too. We have to show the folks in the North how to eat. I'm telling you. So, glory to God. You know, I don't know about y'all, man. My life began to live when I got saved. I grew up, you know, in being drugged from church to church. And, man, I saw a lot of very unhappy people. How many of y'all saw unhappy people in churches? And they kept telling me I needed what they had. I thought, look, man, if that's what living for Jesus is all about, I'll stick to Jack Daniels any day. Because I'm telling you, what they had was, nobody was happy. And y'all all heard those saying, like they've been sucking on sour persimmons. It's like, you sing about joy, and we sing about happiness, we sing about excitement, and yet, it's just, So, man, when I got saved, man, I met Jesus, and I realized what they were singing about. That we live because He lives in us now. I love what Jeremiah said. It's like what? A fire. Where's it at? Way out there somewhere in the sweet by and by. No, he said there's a fire shut up inside our bones. Folks, fire will make you move. Won't it? Fire will make you move. How many of y'all, your parents, you say, get away from that fire, it's going to burn you. And when you did, and you wanted to grab it for some reason. Fire will make you move. I'm telling you what Jeremiah says. He got to the point where he didn't want to proclaim the word of God. But he says, but I see that there's a fire shut up inside my bones. Folks, we need more fire in our bones, don't we? Praise God. And that's what I want to talk to us a little bit about. Is about expressing the character traits of Christ. Expressing the character traits of Christ. We find those listed in Galatians talking about the fruit of the Spirit. When we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, we're basically talking about the character traits of Christ. Right? And we have those in the person of the Holy Spirit. And where does He live at? Inside of us, because the Bible says that we are the temple, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we have these traits inside of our spirit because we are born again people. The Bible says we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Our spirit has been born again, and the Holy Ghost lives inside of our spirit, and He's wanting to express the character traits of Christ from the inside out, isn't He? So if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to start reading from verse 14. Back it up there a little bit, Lamar, to verse 14. This is kind of leading in somewhat to our series we're going to start next Sunday, talking about Nehemiah. I love teaching on Nehemiah because Nehemiah is all about going from a slave to reigning. And you can apply that circumstance to every area of your life. Whatever God is doing in your life, whether it be a marriage, whether it be a church, whether it be your business, whether it be your friendship, your social life, Nehemiah is a perfect example and expression of what God does with a man and how he takes him to a place of ruling and reigning. So I want to encourage you to please be here. Also, if you can't hear the messages, you can go on our website here at Kingston Road and you can look under sermons and you can hear the sermons from the previous weeks. So I want to encourage you folks. These are some dynamic messages that can really touch and change our life if we will receive this word and let the word of God have its way in our life. Amen. Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to read from verse 14 through verse 25. Then we're going to expound on some of this. Starting in verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Let's say that again. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, or you could say it like this, the character traits of Christ is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Expressing the character traits of Christ, what I want to speak to us about. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. And Father, we just thank you so much, oh God, for what you're doing in our homes, in our lives, God, in our church, in us individually. Lord, let ourselves be open now, God, and receptive, Lord, to this word as a seed, as it is planted within our life, oh God. Help us to grasp it, Lord. Give us revelation by your Spirit, Lord, according to your word. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. When you look at this, you see two things that jump off the page. You see Paul speaking about the fruit of the Spirit, and you also see him talking about the flesh, the fruit and the flesh. These are the two main topics of what Paul is trying to express to the church here of Galatia. And we understand that the fruit of the Spirit is what we said is the, it could be the character traits or is the character traits of Christ. It reveals everything about him. It's who he is that's living on the inside of us, inside this flesh. And then Paul begins to talk about the flesh is this godless nature. It's I like what Paul even says in Romans. It's the part of us that nothing good dwells. How many of y'all have seen and felt the power and the war between your spirit and between your flesh? We see it all the time. Every day of our life, we see this battle, and he says it's constantly, it's contrary, it's always at war with one another, the flesh and the spirit. And actually, whichever one is the strongest, whichever one is the more priority, the one who is more in control, that's who's going to control you and me. Are we going to be controlled by the flesh, or are we going to be controlled by the Holy Spirit? And this is what Paul is, he's trying to really bring out, that there is a war that is going on between us, and you and I have to be a people that are supposed to be, the key is, to be led by the Holy Spirit. And I like what he says here even prior to that. He says in verse 15, beware lest you be consumed by one another. Be swallowed up by one another. I can't tell you how many marriages I have seen. How many ministries, how many churches, how many businesses are consumed. They're swallowed up, not because they're walking in the Spirit, but because their whole flesh is what is leading, and their flesh is what's guiding, and their flesh is what is dictating their whole life, and it's actually imploding. It's consuming each other from the inside out. You see, we're talking about the flesh for just a minute. He says, be careful, beware, lest you be consumed. How many marriages are consumed because the flesh gets involved? Oh, it's his fault, it's her fault, it's their fault, it's their fault. We can blame everybody in the world, but Paul brings it out very clear that beware lest you're consumed because your flesh is dictating your walk. Your flesh is dictating your decisions. Your flesh is dictating what direction you're going to go. And so when I'm looking at this, I'm thinking, Lord, show us how we can begin to walk in the Spirit. Because when we're walking in the Spirit, we see love and joy and happiness and faith and peace. All these things are being expressed to people around us. And folks, I want to tell you something. What we do affects people more than what any preacher can say from this pulpit. You are, I love what Paul says. He says, we are living epistles. The love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, the faith, all of this is what's on the inside of us. And listen, it's supposed to be expressed outwardly. This fruit is supposed to be expressed outwardly so that people out there, people that are lost, people that have no hope, they can see this fruit and partake of it. And this just kind of, this weekend I was, this really just came just so evident in my life. I was telling Pam what we're going to do when we get home today is we're going to be canning figs. We're going to be putting up a lot of fig preserves. Our fig tree has produced more this year than it ever has. I mean, I don't know what it is. Maybe because we're getting ready to move and it's going to give us one last hoorah or what. I don't know. Well, we have more figs on that tree than we ever had before. But the Holy Spirit really began to speak to me about that fig tree, the fruit on that fig tree. And folks, all year, ever since last season, that fig tree has just stood there. And there hasn't been a bird or a squirrel in that fig tree. Oh, they may just stop on their way by, but there has not been a bird or a squirrel come to that fig tree all year. But you can tell. You don't even have to even walk out there and look at the tree. You can sit in my easy chair and look out there. And I told Pam, I said, them things are getting ripe. And she says, how do you know? I said, because we got birds are visiting the tree. And the squirrels are coming up here and checking it out. No birds, no squirrel all year until about 3 weeks ago. Now all of a sudden, we've seen this one robin sitting on top of the garage. I think he is the announcer. Or whatever that bird sounds like, because that bird is calling all the birds in northwest Louisiana to my fig tree. I'm thinking about tying my little weenie dog in the top of the tree just to hopefully it keeps some of the birds away. You see what I'm saying? But watch this, a fig tree, the fruit, not the tree, but the fruit. We're talking about fruit. The fruit on that tree, it does three things. It draws, can you say amen? It draws birds and it draws me. I love picking those figs. Pam, she's from up in the north country in Corning, Arkansas. The only thing she thought about a fig was then they were in those little fig Newtons. She never had a real fig. But figs draw. Fruit, the figs feed. But they also confirm that this is a fig tree. Don't they? And folks, when we're looking at the fruit of the Spirit here, when we're talking about the fruit of the Spirit, we're talking about fruit that not only just hangs there, it's not only just sitting inside of us, but it's supposed to be drawing people out there that, hey, here's some good fruit. You can come and partake of this fruit. What I have is worth coming to me for. It draws people. Growing up, I'm telling you, I grew up and I didn't want anything to do with Christianity, but I remember watching my mom and dad, and the fruit that they had was real. Some of the churches I went to, they were saying they were Christians. I doubted it very seriously growing up because they were mean. They were bitter. They were hateful. But I had a mom and dad, man, they loved Jesus. And they had the fruit to show it too. So when I got saved, man, they were the first ones I wanted to call because they confirmed that they were Christians. You see? And that's what this fruit does. It draws people. I remember watching remember landlines? Y'all remember landlines? I remember watching our landline burn up. Just smoking, burning up from people calling my mother and dad, especially mom. And she had that long cord on there. The people wanted to call her and ask her, and they wanted to be around her, and they wanted to be with them. Why? Because they had fruit in their life that draws. It draws and says, this is love, this is joy, this is peace, this is faith, this is it draws you to me. It doesn't push you away. Folks, when Christians are pushing people away, that's some bad fruit. There's something wrong with fruit that people see somebody go, I don't want to be around them. There's something wrong with that person because that's not the kind of fruit we're talking about here. But it also feeds, doesn't it? Fruit feeds. It feeds you. I'm getting ready to be fed this afternoon with some figs. We got jars everywhere in our house. Figs. Dad's got them under his bed. He got figs everywhere. The fruit feeds people. The fruit that comes out of us, it should feed people. They should want to get a biscuit and some butter and feed on the figs, feed on the fruit that comes out of our life. Amen. But it also confirms that you know what, I'm a child of God. People say, John, you're kind of radical. You better believe I am. I'd rather be radical than dead. I'm telling you. You're kind of eccentric. You're kind of exciting. Man, you don't realize how dead I was. You don't realize how dead I was. And I love what Jesus said. He said, to whom much is forgiven, loveth much. To whom little is forgiven, they don't love much. Man, I had a load on me that got forgiven. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life telling Jesus, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Because I'm not dead anymore, but I am alive. And I don't care who it offends. I'm going to tell people, I'm going to express the love of Jesus. Amen? Somebody said, what's so great about this fruit, man? God's gifted me. God has gifted me with all this talent. I know a lot of singers that have great talent. I know a lot of business people that are very talented. But you see, you have to have fruit go with the talent also. I heard some time back to the day, you're going to like this. The dove was the expression of the Holy Spirit that landed on Jesus, wasn't it? The sweet dove. I seen this the other day, I heard this the other day, and Pam and I had a revival in my house. The dove has 18 primary wings to help it fly. It's got some secondary wings, but it's got 18 primary wings to help it fly. 9 of the wings are for the gifts of the Spirit. The other 9 represent the fruit of the Spirit. Whew. You can have all the gifts flopping and flying and doing all you can, but if the fruit of the Spirit is not involved, that dove can't fly. You can have all the fruit of the Spirit, but you don't have any action. If you don't step out and use what God's given you, the dove can't fly. I would rather soar with the eagles than hang down here with the chickens and pluck around the ground. How about you? But we have people all kind of gifts in their life. Men are gifted people. But if we're going to soar, we have to also implement the fruit of the Spirit into our life so that we can fly. Does that make sense? That was a better point than y'all shouted, I'm telling you. Pam and I had more fun at home talking about that. And I'm also going to give you one more too. The dove also has 5 major wings in the back of the dove. The tail of it. Thank you, honey. That's what wives are there for, to help mates, help their husbands. 5 main feathers in the back to help guide that dove. The apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastors, and teachers, representing the 5-fold ministry. Isn't that beautiful, y'all? You got to have all of it put together, church. You got to have all of it put together, or not we'll find ourselves consuming. How many marriages, how many businesses, how many churches? Well, they don't do it like I want to do it. Let the flesh, the Bible says crucify the flesh. And then let the Holy Spirit come out. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew 13. I'm constantly asking myself the story, the parable of the sower. The parable of the sower. Many times people want to, and preachers want to allude about, this is only one group. It speaks of salvation. And that may be true. But I also like to look at it as the sower sows the word. Preachers are sowing the word. You're sowing the word into your own life. You're hearing it off of the radio being preached to you, being taught to you. The productivity of the seed, the word of God, is determined by the condition of the soil. Amen? And it breaks my heart that this is so limited down to just those who are saved, the ones who receive it upon good ground. I'm going to show you here in a minute how that's not the indication here. This is just simply the kind of soil that we have. And Christians, every one of us can have the different types of soil that are listed here, which will determine the productivity of the seed in our life. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and he does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away which was sown in his heart. This is who receives seed by the wayside. But he received the seed on stony places. This is who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who bears or hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, what does it do? Choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, and indeed bears fruit, and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He's talking about people who, here's a sower who's going around, and in that day and age, they had a bag on their back, and they would walk through the fields, and they were just throwing this seed, and the wind was carrying the seed all over the place. And here this morning represents all that different kind of soil here this morning. As I am up here preaching the word of God, I'm casting out seed all over this field. And the Bible says the first group is the one who, they heard the word. The word came to them. But because their heart was hard, even though the seed went forth, the seed didn't produce anything. The word didn't produce anything because they simply were a hard-hearted kind of person. And when I look at my own life, I go, Father, listen, your word is productive. Your word is powerful. Your word is a seed. Help me to keep my heart not so hardened that when the seed goes forth, the enemy comes immediately and snatches it away. You say, John, how can it get hard? I tell you exactly how it can get hard. Well, so-and-so did something to me a long time ago, and I've never yet forgiven them. I'm bitter about old so-and-so. I'm mad about so-and-so. Things are not just going my way. Am I making sense? This is not the way we do it. That's not the way. How many times have I seen marriages that they're on their second or third marriage and they try to bring in, well, that's the way my other husband did it. That's my ex-wife did it. And there's never that let go to allow the seed to do the work in a person's life. There's bitterness. There's heartache. And there's things that just harden up the heart. So when even though the seed is powerful as it is, it goes forth. It never can penetrate and put down roots to produce a harvest because the heart is so hard. Am I making sense this morning? That's the one we talked about earlier, the fruit of the Spirit against the flesh. These two are always contrary. But if I keep my heart hard, what will happen then, there will be a consuming from inside out upon whatever you're trying to do. I'm not moving. This is the way I've done it. This way I'm going to keep doing it. there will be a consuming take place in that person or that church or that business or that marriage eventually, because the seed, the word, even though we're hearing it, even though it's being sung to us, still it cannot be productive because the heart is so hard. Does this make sense, church? And I don't want to be a person. We're talking about being effective for Christ. We're talking about being effective for Christ. And the only way we can be effective is that the Holy Spirit is leading. The Holy Spirit is guiding. The Holy Spirit is directing, constantly trying to work in my life. But if my heart is so hard, when the word comes forth, it just bounces right off. And folks, this is the sad thing. If the heart is not dealt with, this can go on for months, for years, and decades. With a heart that's never getting changed. It's not God's fault. It's not the word's fault. It's my fault. I'm the one who determines the condition of my heart. Not you, me. I take responsibility. And as we said earlier, folks, the best expression of Christ is not me up here preaching. It's not what you say. The best expression of Christ is the way we live. Your life expresses, can express Christ to a world. You can say more today in 30 minutes to people than I can for years preaching from this pulpit. By simply just expressing the love of Jesus, expressing hope, expressing patience. But we get so rigid, that's the way it's going to be. Well, that's what our life ends up being. Who wants to be around that? I don't. I like having a good time. I like being around happy and joyful. People just love Jesus. You see? My life has totally changed being married to that little woman right there. She works the dog out of me all the time around the house. But I'm telling you what right now, that little gal right there brings so much out of me. I'll die for that little lady. Because all she does is give out love to me. Love, 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 love. I told her last night I'm going to embarrass her next Sunday because of how great a woman she is. And how I just love watching Jesus just flow out of her all the time. Because Jesus is first place in her life. I'm not. Jesus is first place in her life. Therefore, when the Holy Spirit speaks to her, man, she's like, Lord, change me. Because your changing is only for the better. I'm going to embarrass you next Sunday, honey. Look at the next group. He who received seed on what? Stony places, he hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Woo, man, he's excited. Change has come, Brother James. Change has come. Man, you can tell it in your life. Folks, the enemy is not going to let you become a Christian without attacking you. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you who he'll attack you with. Usually it's people in the church. Not the world out there. It's always people in the church who are attacking one another. Remember he just said to the church of Galatia, hey, you're biting and you're devouring. You're going to consume each other from inside the church. Not the ones from the outside, but inside the church. He says, so don't be dictated. Don't be ruled by the flesh. But church, walk in the Spirit. And then you'll begin to produce the fruit of the Spirit. Here is somebody. Man, they're excited for Jesus. And then they got around old sister you-know-all. A brother, my way or the highway, man. But he had no root in himself. He endured for a while. But when tribulation, persecution came because of the word, of your position in Christ. You see that joy and that love and all that God's trying to produce? That's what Satan's going to attack you with. You're trying to have joy in your life. You're trying to have peace. And then the enemy's going to try to come in and immediately try to take this seed out of your life. You know what they're saying about you? You're going to lose all your friends because of Jesus. You're not going to have this anymore because of Jesus. You're not going to make any more big business deals because of Jesus. You're going to go bankrupt. All these things because of the word's sake. And the Bible says because he has no root where? Within himself. Whose fault is that? That's my fault. That I'm not spending time in the Word. I'm not spending time in prayer. I'm not spending time hearing good teaching. I'm just getting just a little bit to tickle on my ear and move on. We got to have more than just a little tickling of the ear. Man, sometimes, man, we got to get a shovel and do some digging, Jackie. My dad doesn't walk out to his garden and go, man, look at that hard soil out there. Honey, bring me a lemonade. About 15 minutes, I'll have this going. No, sometimes, folks, it takes, man, letting the Holy Spirit just plow. Letting the Word of God just cut and plow and dig. Because the Bible says it has rocks in that soil. Rocks of maybe bitterness. Rocks of hard hardness. Those things have to be gotten out of there. When you go north of Shreveport and you see all those big fields, here in 2017, you drive through there and you go, I guess all it just happened like that. Now, somebody was out there with a mule a long time ago, weren't they? Pulling all them stumps out so they could have a huge field to plant in. Well, folks, we as Christians got to get to the point where I don't need 15, 20 minute little, just a little message. Make me feel good. Let me get out of here. Do y'all know, church, all week long, I consume myself with the Word of God. I hear it on the radio. I watch it on television. I listen to it on my computer. I'm studying the Word of God. I'm reading books constantly all week long, just consuming the Word, because I know the Holy Spirit's going to take that and remove rocks in my life to allow the seas to get down there deep, because I know tribulation's coming. I know persecution's coming, but I want this tree planted strong in the rivers of water. I don't want to be blown over just because someone, I love Jackie to pieces, you know, but if she said something bad about me, she told James, you know, Brother John, you know, he likes wearing that little yellow shirt, thinking he's all high and mighty. Well, I can't let that offend me. Somebody said a long time ago, sticks and stones may break our bones, but words can't touch you, can they? But we get offended because somebody said something. They said something. All they are is a puppet from the devil. That's all they are. They're being used as a puppet from the devil. You see, Jack, you're not a puppet. You don't get all offended. Now look at the next one. Now he who receives seed among the where? The thorns. He hears the word, but the cares of this word, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, what does it do? It chokes the word. The cares. The worries of life, the anxieties, the fears. The word is actually says it becomes unfruitful. Meaning there for a while, man, there was production in that person's life. But it also says, because if you read in the Amplified, I didn't get a chance to read that, it says they begin to turn their trust away from the word and more concern to the cares. You see what I'm saying? They turn their trust from God, the same one that they put their trust in to get saved, now they're turning their trust to something else, and in turn, that's choking the very word that can give you life. It's choking you. We get all wrapped up. It's the same thing when you look at Peter, when Jesus told him by his word, step out of the boat. And he stepped out of the boat, and Peter began to do the supernatural, didn't he? He was walking on water. He was fulfilling the word as Jesus spoke. But what did he say, Jane? But then he turned his eyes to what? To the wind and the waves. He took his eyes off of the word and his eyes on the cares. He turned his eyes on the enormity of this thing. And what happened? He began to sink. Or you could say it in another word, he became unfruitful. Because he took his eyes off the word. Church, I can't encourage you enough, folks. Don't get caught up in what's going on around you, all around you. But keep our eyes on the word. Keep our eyes on Jesus. And watch how that word becomes. We're talking about joy. We're talking about love. We're talking about long-suffering, patience. Man, here lately, y'all, this is confession one-on-one morning. Because I'm telling you, the Lord spoke to me the other day. He said, son, you need more patience. Oh, how many of y'all hate that when the Lord tells you that? You see, I am a professional driver. Y'all are laughing. I actually have the paperwork to prove it. I used to train drivers. I know how driving should be. An accident happens when two independent vehicles try to basically be in the same spot at the same time. That's how accidents happen. I am a professional driver. So when I'm driving, a yellow light doesn't mean you floor it to go through the red light. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. You better be careful nowadays. When that thing turns green, you better sit there and check your messages or something on your phone, do something, because people are just steadily going through the red light. But the other day, I'm telling you, I was behind this person, and they were not doing, according to the rule book, what they're supposed to be doing. And I'm like, will these people hurry up and do what they're supposed to be doing? And the Lord said, son, you need more patience. I said, oh God, the P word. He said, you need more patience. And I said, well, Lord, I admit it, I do. I need more patience. And I've had patience in other areas, except for driving. That's one of my biggest hang-ups. Hope there's some more people here bearing witness with me on this. Man, it's just like, come on! All right, let's leave it alone. But I said, Lord, I can't grow in patience without your help. I can't manufacture this in me. I can sit here behind these people and chew my nails off and beat my fists and all these other things and go, I've got patience. I don't have patience. But I know the Holy Spirit is the one who produces the patience in me. So now every time that my foot starts tapping, getting anxious, the Holy Spirit says, this is a good time to call on me to help you now. And that's what I do, say, Lord, help me right now. Right this moment, I recognize that I am not a patient person. So Lord, help me. So folks, right now, I am on a journey. And I may be behind you one day. But just remember, I am praying behind you. Because God is not finished with me yet. He's not finished with any of us yet. And we need to recognize that there's some flaws in me. But I want people, when they see John Anderson, I don't want to just tell them I love Jesus. I don't want to just tell them I have the fruit of the Spirit in me. I don't want them to know me as a Christian because I come to church on Sunday. I don't want them to know me as a Christian because I preach God's word. I want them to know that I love Jesus and I'm a preacher and I'm all about Jesus because they see him in me. They feel him around me. Does that make sense? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Glory to God.